Hello and welcome to another episode of Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy at Monday at 5 p.m. only on 101.5 UMFM and UMFM.com. I'm your host, Simon Pazdor, doing my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazdor and Matt Menye. How we doing, lads?
Doing good.
Still kind of shaking off a cold, but not too bad.
All right, good. That kept you out of the kept you out of it for last week, actually.
It did, yes.
Yeah. So, as you can imagine, we're going to probably spend the majority of today still talking about Spider-Man, because Adam didn't get his 2 cents in last week. Matt's probably played a little bit more. I've played a little bit more, just a smidge.
Just a smidge.
The whole thing is just a smidge,
yeah,
right?
The whole
just
thing, yeah. It's not platinumed yet. And I haven't had, I was telling Neil from Prick Up Your Ears before this, I haven't actually sat down to play it that many times. It's just that every time I sit down, I don't stand back up. So I don't sit down for less than like 8 hours, but jeez. I've only done that like 3 or 4 times. Okay, so there has been a little bit of news. First of all, tiny smidge Sims news. There was a discussion on Twitter, and I thought I'd run it by you guys, see what you thought, that apparently The Sims wants to add disabled people to the game. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because that would be the game to do it. It's like, how do you put them respectfully and tastefully without being like the disabled person in the game?
Yeah.
In The Sims. It makes sense. And they were like, yeah, we want to have people in wheelchairs, and it could be for disabled people or elders. And I'm like, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can all just be like,
why wasn't that already there?
I know. That's what I feel like.
Yeah. I feel like that's an include. So there's like no possible way to complain about that.
Just yeah,
like,
no.
Yep, good job, Sims.
That's more news than opinion. But it's like, yeah, someone out there will find a way. But no, that seemed cool. I know it's the market that they should corner. Smart one. So there was also a Nintendo Direct. Oh, and there's a bit of Mass Effect news that my phone keeps telling me. I think because I look up Mass Effect stuff on my phone, the Google, I have a Google Pixel, and it tells you, it has like a news feed where it just gives you stuff that they think you'd find interesting. And usually it's pretty right. But I must be looking at Mass Effect an awful lot if it's still sending me Mass Effect news like years later. But apparently they had there was an interview with, I forget his name, but they were at Mass Effect 3, no, Mass Effect 1 and 2 writer who left. Drew Karpyshyn, something like that. I forget his name. That's not important. And they asked him about the ending of Mass Effect 3. And he basically said, when people are talking about Mass Effect 3, they forget about the rest of the game being great because of the ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he, like being the guy who developed the first two games and wrote for them, he said, I just don't think they had enough time. Which is what basically we and everyone else on planet Earth thought. But it's kind of interesting to get it confirmed by somebody else. There was also a Nintendo Direct snuck in there. Now, I don't think this Nintendo Direct revealed anything unbelievable for us, but it did have a couple apparently classic Nintendo jokes. I didn't watch the full thing. I watched a recap and like clips show afterward. I was working during the actual Direct. But apparently, they teased an Animal Crossing for Switch. Or first, they teased Animal Crossing for Switch, which then turned out to be Isabelle being confirmed to be in Smash.
Okay.
And then afterward, they actually confirmed that there is an Animal Crossing for Switch. So it's like a double fake. It was like, oh, yeah, that's not actually going to happen. We're just confirming it is. But, oh, no, it is going to happen.
Yes, it is.
And there's a lot of diehard, as I have fur in me. I'm the fur. I have fur on my shirt. There's a lot of diehard Animal Crossing fans out there. And I think that they were losing their minds over both Isabelle being in it, which has been leaked and now confirmed. But there's a lot of Animal Crossing people. Are either of you guys Animal Crossing people?
I am not an Animal
Crossing. I never was. Person. My sister loved it.
Yeah.
Never got into it.
I mean, you've played, what's the one before? Not Harvest Moon, but the other one.
Is
Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of vaguely in that general
kind of
direction.
Yeah. I totally see the appeal behind it. I just, I don't know. When it came out, I was in that sort of phase where I'm like, this game's dumb.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We'll see where that's at. I mean, the Switch is so popular that it might be just like, I need something else to play my Switch. May as well get Animal Crossing. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. They also announced, like I said, Isabelle and Smash, Luigi's Mansion 3, because there was Luigi's Mansion 2, which I think came out on the 3DS.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as popular as the first one, but Luigi's Mansion 3, that looks pretty cool. Final Fantasy, holy smokes. They announced so many Final Fantasies for Switch. Switch is just crushing ports right now. So there's Final Fantasy 7, 9, 10, 12, and more on Switch.
And more.
Including the one that Matt confirmed last week. Yoshi got a new game, Yoshi's Crafted World. Yoshi and Kirby continue to have games look like they're made by grandmothers. And I mean, like, not, I don't mean poor quality. I mean, they're like, they knitted. Look like they're knit, yeah.
Oh, right. The yarn. Yes, the yarn.
Yeah,
the
yarns. Yes, with Kirby's, I think, extremely epic yarn is yes. the title now.
So oh, my epic. God. That sounds like what somebody made up to make fun of Kirby's epic yarn. And that's the actual title of the sequel.
That I, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. And then there was a whole bunch of news for, first of all, there were a couple other ports confirmed. Civilization, like we said last week, is confirmed to be on Nintendo Switch, as is City Skylines. So if you like rewind the clock a few months ago, where we were like, what stuff needs to get ported to the Switch? We said Civilization and a city building game. Guys, stay tuned to this show because we got the inside scoop. We know exactly what's going on. Speaking of the inside scoop, I've been talking for weeks that we're going to have a meet and greet at the Hub tonight. We're not, because the Hub is hosting a comedy night, and I don't want to yell over someone's probably decent jokes. That's me being nice. I'm assuming they're going to be great. If you're in a comedy club, it's very easy to laugh, I think, when you're in that environment.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's going to be great. But if instead of going to that probably enjoyable experience, you want to, for some reason, come and meet us, instead we're going to be in Degrees, which is probably, for those people who don't drink like me and Adam, probably more our speed. Yeah. If you want to meet us, Adam's in a Meatloaf shirt. I'm in a Guns N' Roses shirt. Matt is representing no bands because he is himself a musician and therefore representing himself. So if you want to meet us, then you can come meet us there and talk video games, tell us your favorite thing. If maybe you're super hyped about this Final Fantasy stuff and you want to
like
play...
Like me.
Yeah, you want to play Crystal Chronicles. Tactics?
Crystal Chronicles.
Yeah. I get them confused.
Tactics is it's its own other thing.
If you want to play Crystal Chronicles with Matt, let us know. So, who knows? Anyway,
I am just as excited for the other Final Fantasies too, though.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are very excited about the Switch is turning into a port machine, which mm-hmm. is good. That's a very smart move by Nintendo.
Yeah.
And last but not least, they announced a lot of Nintendo Switch Online functionality. I don't want to talk too in-depth about this because I still want to spend most of the time on Spider-Man. But they announced a few things. First of all, it's going to be $20 for a year. I think it's like $6 per month. But so it's like a much better deal to get it for the full year. $20 for a year. You get to play all your games online. You also get cloud storage. And that's where they basically shove the virtual console. So you get a back catalog of a whole bunch of Nintendo NES titles to play. And you can get exclusive offers to buy things like they announced an NES-styled controller. So it's a Joy-Con that looks like an NES controller. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't play a ton of Switch Online. The price is very reasonable. I find I might, like, in order to play, like, Super Smash Bros. Or Mario Party with Matt or whatever, I might get it just because. But I think that they could have fluffed it up a little bit, particularly when you have a group of people, like, not necessarily us, but kids, who are maybe playing Splatoon or Mario Kart or whatever online, and they've been doing it for free for a year, and then all of a sudden on, you know, like, I think it's actually coming up very soon. They're going to be going, Mom, I need $20. What? Yeah. I thought this was free. Like, I think they might run into problems there.
Yeah.
I don't think they necessarily sold it up, but what do you think?
I mean, I've been glad that it's been free so far, but yeah, it kind of sucks throwing a price tag, even a fairly reasonable one, onto something that has to this point been free.
Yeah.
Because if they've been able to provide it free this whole time, what has changed?
Yeah.
I don't know. If there's some game that I like really want to play online with some friends, it's cheap enough. I'll probably, you know, buy a couple months of it so I can sort of get that time in. But I really don't play my Switch online all that much.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither. It would be the same thing. I think I bought a month of Xbox Live when I was playing Mass Effect a few months ago. So it might be the same thing, where I just buy like a month to play the one game, and then once the zeitgeist has died down, I'll move on. And Adam, you're gonna play. I mean, you don't even have a Switch.
Yeah.
So you're gonna let it pass you by?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think the thing that kind of bothers me about it is that you can't get cloud storage if you don't buy it.
And you lose your cloud storage if you stop having it.
Whereas,
that's cheeky.
Microsoft and Sony just let you have it.
Yeah.
So that really bugs me.
That might be unpopular.
So I thought that was really annoying. And also the fact, because this is a new story I know a little bit about because I was watching a video of somebody talking about it today. And they mentioned that not all games are going to be, not even all online games are going to be cloud storage compatible.
Yeah.
Which is just, and the reason they gave for it is that they don't want people to be able to cheat.
Yeah, they don't want people to cheat with Pokemon specifically. So like you upload something to the cloud and then you have it in the cloud, and you could load up a game where you still have it, then download it, and you could basically clone them. Which is like, I get why you're saying that, but find a way around that.
Yeah.
Because it would really suck to lose your Pokemon storage. Like, that's probably the one game that people are going to think about it for.
Yeah, well, and especially when new games come in, something like, you know, the next main series game that comes out at some point, cloud storage is going to be really important for switching things between games, unless they're going to make it. I guess they've already been making people buy Pokemon Bank to do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess they'll probably just continue doing that. But the limitations on the cloud storage just seems really strange to me.
I think they should have, like, allowed cloud storage, tested it with Pokemon Let's Go, find out how people are going to cheat, and then try to block those ways.
For the
main one. They should have just used it as a test. Anyway, we're going to move on because, holy smokes, Spider-Man. So, Matt, last time you had played only a few hours.
Yes.
How much have you played now?
Many more. I'm a little over halfway through the game now.
Perfect. So there's a very clear Act 1 and Act 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you're into Act 2, I would assume?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And you're not in Act 3. So once I got into Act 3, I just mainlined the game. Like, I do the story, basically, because it really starts to pick up. So I've completed the story, but I still have a fair amount of collectibles to collect. I'll put it that way. Adam, how far are you into the game?
According to the pause screen, about 53%.
So you're also about half. So you finished Act 2.
We're pretty close.
I'm not sure what defining moment you can
see. So Act 1, there's a political speech.
Yeah.
And an incident.
And an event.
And an event at the political speech. Okay, so we are going to be spoiling Act 1 today, I would assume. And the end of Act 2, you guys don't know.
No.
Okay, so Act 1 is basically... Yeah. I won't go too into it. But Act 1 is like a gang war. And then Act 2 is when the demons become more intense.
Yeah. That's well, and you also we'll get the third faction to show up.
Yes, and then you get the Sable.
That basically just happened to me.
Okay, so you've seen a fair amount of stuff. So first of all, Matt and I both spent probably half the show last week talking about how much we loved the swinging. How do you feel about the swinging? Has it won you over yet?
No.
No,
it
really?
It could be better. I mean, it's probably the best one, hands down, but it's still something about it still feels kind of sticky. I like the jumping thing. I like that you can seamlessly just transition from swinging to landing on a point to bouncing off and doing it again.
Yeah, they don't want you to stop like you did in Spider-Man 2.
And once you have a lot, what I figured out is once you have a couple particular upgrades, the game just flows so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I mainlined down the upgrade path to the charge jump.
Yeah,
and
I
that
agree.
Just, that was so much
charge
better.
Jump is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge for the game.
Yeah. I got that, I'd swing a lot less, and I sort of just, like, Superman jump around now, yeah.
The super jump is super fun.
Yeah. But so I'm enjoying the swinging, but it's not like it was in Spider-Man 2 where I would just, like, spend half an hour just swinging around the city because it was so much fun.
Oh, I've still done that.
Now it's like, I want to get to a place, but I'm, like, I'm having fun on the way there, but I'm not going to stay up here for no reason.
Interesting. So what about the combat? Because last week I said about halfway through the game, so more or less where you guys are, I said about a mind meld with the combat, kind of like with God of War, actually, where it just made sense, where I stopped playing it like Arkham, basically, and started playing like Spider-Man, and now I love it. And I've heard a lot of reviews, and a lot of people are with you guys, or at least where you both were last week, so I'll get an update, which is, not sure about this combat, seems pretty weak, like they could have tweaked it. There's some people who are like, okay, the combat, like, it's okay, it's behind the story and the swinging, but the combat is good. And I've actually heard a few people who are even above me, and are like, the combat's my favorite part of the game. So there's a huge degree here. I like it very much. I like it more than Batman's combat, I'll put it that way.
I wish it didn't feel so much like Batman's combat. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is, Spider-Man and Batman should fight differently.
I think it's Batman's fault.
Well,
Spider-Man deserves Spider-Sense, and Batman doesn't.
Okay, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. But, and well, I'm not... It's not that part that bugs me. It's the fact that I don't... When I'm swinging in the air, like, and doing the story stuff, then I feel like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I get into a fight, I don't feel like Spider-Man anymore.
Interesting.
Because you basically get one gadget button, which, so you have to break the flow, essentially, to use all the other gadgets, which I never do.
You can tap to pop between.
Yeah, so you get two, basically, of the, like, nine that you have. And the thing that frustrates me is, and I sort of said this before, is the Spider-Man is not bulletproof. Mm-hmm. That's not one of his powers. So, okay, fine. Guys with guns are a problem.
Yeah, he takes a beating.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man can pick up a building.
Yeah.
One punch should end most fights. Not seven or eight punches.
We got Adam breaking the studio.
and a guy with a weapon can block every strike I have. give me a break.
Yeah, so I really wanted to, when you texted me that last week, I really wanted to smack my phone and be like, it's a game, you idiot. That's how I felt about God of War. It's like, yeah, he can pick up the world. Why is he struggling with this? Because it's a game. Because he doesn't want to kill people. And, like, Spider-Man's not a doctor, and he can't determine, if I punch, like, 13% harder, he'll only get knocked out. He's going to pull his punches in the face.
I mean, Spider-Man kills a lot of people in this
if you look, I've started to look. Every time you kick someone off a building, a little bit of webbing will attach to something.
Oh,
okay.
I've started to follow them, and it doesn't matter how far they fall. Like if you kick someone off a skyscraper, they'll fall down. If there's no skyscrapers near them, it'll get attached to like a light post at the bottom. I've like dove off to follow people because that was one of my major problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's like I can understand why it would frustrate you internally, but I think that's just a concession you have to make for being a video game.
And it sort of leads into my bigger problem with the game is that it's really kind of boring.
Oh,
like
really?
The story is really interesting to me, but every time you get into a situation, it's like, okay, here's another group of guys that I have to beat up.
Yeah.
And the only thing is like, is it Kingpin's guys? Is it the demons? Is it the Sable people? Like they change, but the best part about Spider-Man is he has next to Batman, he is the best villains in comics. And we see none of them.
You won't say that next week. Matt, what do you...
That's my point, though, is they like, the really awesome trailer they showed us is like, I have gotten nowhere near that yet. And I'm like...
No, that's the end of Act 2.
I'm glad it's building to a great finale, but the first two acts, like, give me Rhino or something. Like, anybody.
That trailer... Well, I mean, you have Shocker, but that... Yeah.
That fight was amazing!
Yeah.
Give me more of those.
The Shocker fight was really good, but that And there's tombstones in the game, too.
Yeah, I've beaten Tombstone.
You've beaten Tombstone.
That was a good fight, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have to actually finish that side mission. Matt, what do you think about the combat?
It's
Are you somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I think I'm still in between you guys.
Okay.
It's feeling better than it was. I sort of, you know, upgraded a few perks that smooth out combat quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've just sort of learned to use the different sort of like little tricks and abilities that Spider-Man has better. It makes much better use of his webs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it feels much smoother than it did. I think it's a lot too easy. It's been a while since I've died or come close to dying in a fight. At least for me, I really like using the ability where you just sort of spin around and shoot webs out
web
at
blossom?
Everybody. Web blossom.
Oh yeah, web blossom.
But like when you're swinging around the city, you gain like the bar that charges that up passively as you're going around. So then when you like jump into a fight, you can just use it immediately, and it almost always one shots the whole fight.
I got to start using that ability.
It's really strong.
I used Spider Row the entire time, by the
okay.
way.
I've been using the first one you get, the focus charge.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, using something like that is sort of playing on easy mode a little bit. But even when you get into just regular full-on fights, it's rare that they present a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spidey Sense is fairly strong, as it should be. But, I don't know, it's feeling a little easy to me, I would say.
Interesting.
But very, like... Very smooth and enjoyable, just not particularly challenging.
I didn't die, so at the beginning of Act 1, so probably like 15 way through, once I kind of got used to the combat and the swinging, because I won't spoil what happens in Act 3, I think you guys might have an idea already based on that thing.
I think I saw a couple like seconds of a video clip that I tried to like immediately close and forget about.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put it this way. The city changes, and the moving around, I have a save file midway through Act 3 that I might go back to just because like the world is different. No one like sets off a nuclear device, right? You're not like playing through post-apocalyptic New York, but it starts to become a lot more hostile. So it's funny with you saying that you're not seeing enough villains and using it as too easy. It's like, man, guys, just get it. It's good. Because I died like more in Act 3 than the rest of the game combined, for sure.
Cool.
And it's just because everywhere you go, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I won't reveal how it gets there. So, we did talk a lot about web swinging last week. We talked a lot about combat last week. We didn't even talk that much about the story, or the side missions, or the collectibles, stuff like that. So, let's take the time. What do you guys think of this story?
I'm having a good time so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's plodding along. It's a fairly predictable Spider-Man story.
So we'll be okay. We'll put a spoiler warning, big neon lights for the end of Act 1 into midway of Act 2. Yeah. And I think Act 2 is just chasing down... the demons.
Yeah.
So at this point, you know, spoilers, Martin Lee is Mr. Negative.
I mean, no one said it out loud, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that was fairly obvious.
You know, he's
one.
The head of the demons.
It's not said out loud, but it's shown at the end of Act 1.
Yes, that's correct.
So you know, and he's also the head of the demons in the comics.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, so as soon as they saw his name, I was like, oh, I know where this is going.
Plus, that was in the trailers, even. So it's not a real spoiler that Martin...
I knew nothing about it, and just in Act 1, I'm like, he's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of foreshadowing.
A bad guy.
So Act 1 is mostly focused on catching and dealing with him, or Act 2 is.
Yeah.
Act 1 was more or less getting used to your own spider powers until there's a big escalation point, a terror attack, which was a really bold choice to have in New York.
Yeah.
But I thought it was handled pretty well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Pretty relatively tasteful.
You get a brief sequence where you have to play as somebody else.
Yeah, they do that. Okay.
Oh, that was such a, like...
I'm not spoiling
holy
that.
Crap moment. Are they really doing
I
this?
I know.
I freaked out. I texted Simon.
I know.
I was like... Yeah, I don't really want this to happen, but I kind of really want this to
like,
happen.
It's like, I think it was Metal Gear Solid 2, where you started off as Snake, and then you end up playing as the other guy, Raiden, who I think he would become. And I thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. I mean, we're spoiling it, so I'm assuming if you're listening to this podcast, or if you've listened to this radio show, you've played the game. Or if you haven't even played the first act by now, I mean, it's been out for a week, guys. then, you know, close your ears. Run away from the radio, do whatever you got to do, or pause it and come back later.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Peter gets blown up, basically.
Along with everybody else.
Along with everybody else. There is a terrorist attack in New York, and then you start playing as Miles for the first time, and you're thinking, Miles Morales, that is, and you start thinking, whoa, is this going to be like a huge twist? Are they going to kill Peter off? Because he doesn't wake up.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that too until you start playing as him again. I'm like, oh,
thank God.
He's back. But yeah, the story in this game is written by... It's written by a couple... I think it's four guys. I don't remember all their names, unfortunately. But two guys are resident Insomniac writers, and two guys are Spider-Man writers. Like, that wrote for the Spider-Man comic books.
Okay.
Christoph Gage and Scott something. I forget his name. But Christoph Gage, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Christoph? Christos? Christos. He's got a weird name. Yeah, so I thought the story was really strong. This is probably, including movies, TV shows, everything... my favorite version of Peter Parker.
Christos Gage.
Christos, that's right. It's my favorite version of Peter Parker. I think Yuri Lowenthal nails it.
Yeah, he's great.
He's phenomenal. I really like what they did with the characters. We talked about a little bit about it last week, but there's a big twist with, not a big twist, but a change in the way they do Dr. Octavius.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the change in the way they do Norman Osborn. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet, but they're kind of connected.
Well, yes,
yeah, a bit,
yeah.
So their stories are kind of intertwined. And what's interesting is at this point in, they say it multiple times that Spider-Man is 8 years into his career, and I would argue that his probably three biggest villains are Venom, Doctor Octopus, and Green Goblin. He's faced none of those yet.
Yeah,
if you think about it that way, because Norman hasn't changed, Doc Ock hasn't changed, and Venom hasn't appeared.
I haven't seen Venom yet. What was I? Oh, I was going to say something about Norman Osborn.
Have you guys, by the way, what do you think about that? Have you guys, there's a couple scenes that I particularly love with Peter, and I'm not sure where in the game they are. One where he's having dinner with MJ.
Yeah.
Not in the diner, in her apartment.
He's seen that.
Okay, so you saw, did you just leave your clothes on the floor? And the other one I think is at the end of Act 2. So I won't spoil it for you, but it's a text conversation between the two of them.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, so those two are probably my favorite bits of writing in the thing. I feel like they crushed Peter and MJ's relationship. First of all, Peter's fantastic. He comes off as very, I don't want to say meek, but mild-mannered, sweet, sympathetic, soft-spoken as Peter. I thought he was just as capable of quipping and being cocky as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I totally bought both worlds.
Yeah, no, I was on board with that. I could have done without the bits where you play as MJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of the controversial thing. Yeah
I was kind of... Like, I really like her... Like,
what do you think of the character as MJ?
I mean, they basically made MJ into Lois Lane.
Yeah, that's the.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
because MJ on her own was kind of like there wasn't a whole lot to her before.
Yeah, she's too passive a character. They said they want to make her more active. Matt, what did you think of those MJ sequences?
I find every time I get to one, I'm like, I don't really want to do this. Yeah. And then halfway through, I'm kind of into it. So I don't know. They're all right. The stealth is ridiculously lenient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely as Spider-Man, but I think because all of MJ's sequences are stealth sequences, it really sort of brings it to the front how blind basically all the bad guys
and
are.
And you guys have already seen one, but there are more Miles sequences, and they're just very similar to MJ. He's got a different mechanic with the hacking, but it never really goes anywhere, and it's just kind of like crouching around.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind them. Like, they're fine. I usually enjoy them by the time I get to the end of it, but I'm never excited when one starts.
Yeah. I agree. I think that probably my biggest criticism of this game as compared to Arkham is I like the combat more, but the Arkham goons felt like real people. and like you could see that they were terrified. They weren't particularly stupid. So if they noticed someone was missing, or like Joker would say, "Hey, this guy's missing," they'll kind of do it in this game. They're like, "Hey, I haven't heard from this guy. Like, check on him."
Yeah.
But like, if Spider-Man's hung somebody from a light post in front of the light, there's no way they don't notice that.
I know.
Like, they are blisteringly stupid in this game, and I feel like that might have even been intentional with the MJ parts, because I just kind of rushed through them and played intentionally poorly because I wanted to get them over with. And you can really do that. Like, you can just rush through if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. In general, the stealth is incredibly lenient. Probably the most lenient I've ever seen in pretty
much
any
game. Out of a game of this caliber, it's so lenient,
Yeah, it's, I don't know, they're really, really easy. There have been a couple missions as Spider-Man where, like, I've literally strung up every single enemy so they're all hanging like webs, like, you know, 5 feet away from each other all the way down a room.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, somehow they don't notice. Yeah. They'll be like, "Oh, hey, Spider-Man's here." And yet I'm still able to stealth kill them all.
Yeah, yeah. It's not particularly difficult. The first time I did that was all the way through was with the Jefferson Davis plot. By the way, what did you guys think of that?
I liked that. Yeah. That was good. That was a good time.
Yeah, apparently, I think in the comics, and we'll confirm this when we have our crossover show, but I think in the comics, Miles' mom dies. And so that was a twist on it, to have the dad die instead. Jefferson Davis. But I thought, like, they rode the line with Jefferson so well. If he was likable, but not, like, stupid. He mentioned his son a couple times. And I thought that him and Spider-Man actually teamed up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I really liked that sequence. That was solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole thing was
cool. So we agree that the web swinging is varying degrees from amazing to good. The combat is okay to good to great. The story, Matt, did you give your opinion on the story so far?
I mean, the story's fairly straightforward, but I'm enjoying it. The bigger thing for me is I really like the characters.
Yeah, I
don't think there's been a single character in the game so far that I haven't really enjoyed everything about them.
What do you guys think? This is probably my final question because we're kind of running out of time here. But it was a bold choice, I think, to go with Mr. Negative, a relatively new character, relatively unknown character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was a bold choice because, like, the three of us have been following Spider-Man for years.
Yes.
And haven't really heard of this guy, and he certainly hadn't been the star in his own thing. This is one of the biggest Spider-Man properties.
I knew he existed, but that was
ever.
It.
Yeah, I'd heard of the name.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest properties ever. What did you guys think of how they handled Mr. Negative? Because I thought, after seeing what they did with him, to me, he's on the same tier. Like, I like him just as much as I like the other villains. Doc Ock's still my favorite, but he was up there.
I haven't had a, like, I'll let you know when I fight him. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm just fighting his guys and like, oh, they have energy weapons.
Yeah.
What do you frickin' do? And he can sort of mind control people.
Did you buy, he can bring out the negative in them. Did you buy the whole Martin Lee is a good guy and then a bad guy thing?
No.
So you think he was acting when he was a good guy?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Matt, what did you think about the negative?
I don't know. For me, so far, it's just kind of like a really cool skin on a neutral character. I think Martin Lee's a good character, but as far as Mr. Negative's powers goes, I haven't really seen anything that makes it stand out yet. It's just sort of generic powers with a cool look to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm only halfway through. I haven't really seen how, like, specifically his powers or his character suits the story. But, you know, I'm enjoying the character of Martin Lee so far. It didn't surprise me at all that, I don't know, I didn't really buy the good thing at all. I think they foreshadowed him being the bad guy way too heavily.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
As someone who had never heard of Mr. Negative, didn't watch, I tried to avoid everything I could going into it. Like, an hour into the game, I'm like, oh, he's the villain.
Yeah.
So.
Especially when he's like, I have to go away and I'm not sure when I'll be back. Well.
It was a pretty good twist, though, when Peter's investigating his office and then Mr. Negative shows up. Did you guys like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was tense.
Yeah.
Similar to Spider-Man Homecoming.
The movie, yeah.
Yeah, opens the door to find the Vulture.
Oh, he's there. Yeah, my throat was up. My stomach was in my throat a little bit there. So, I can tell you guys now, I won't spoil anything, but the ending of this game is phenomenal. One of my favorite endings in a game, period. So I can't wait until you guys get there. Can't wait till you listeners get there. And we are going to do a full spoiler cast at some point, probably within the next month. We're going to do a crossover episode with the Beyond the Panel people. But in the meantime, we'll see you guys in half an hour in case you want drinks. Once again, drinks with us in the, not the hub, in Degrees. In Degrees. The hub is having a comedy night. You can go to that too. Go to talk with us and then go to that if you want to. But we're going to have a meet and greet at about 6, probably 6:05. Give us time to walk over there. And in the meantime, you've got an episode of TV Talkers coming your way. We'll see you guys next week.